This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So we're here for Priest, right?
Yeah.
Good. Very good, thanks.
Okay, so when you got on this project, who was attached when you first signed on?
When I was attached, it was Bruce, MLP, Morgan. Who else?
Ellen.
Ernie Borgnine. And I think Malkovich came on just after myself.
So when you first heard about the cast, were you immediately like, yeah, this sounds real good?
Helen was, I mean, it's extraordinary, you know. I can't recollect in recent history such a, you know, phenomenal cast assembled for one movie. It's pretty jazzed to get here.
Were you familiar with the comics before the movie?
I did, yeah. I mean, I read the comic before shooting, which, I mean, the comic really is really like the first act, act. And, you know, it's really interesting to see how they have developed it and fleshed it out and injected a great deal more characters and comedy and... The movie's a lot more complex.
And who's your character again?
I play a CIA agent whose name's William Cooper. And it's my job to essentially hunt down Frank, Bruce's character. There's a lethal finding been put out on him, which basically means that I've got a government-sanctioned hit to take him out.
You're the one that initiates the hit, then?
I don't initiate it. I carry it out.
Oh, you carry it out. Okay.
Is it a physical role for you, then?
Yeah, it has been. It's been quite physical. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Toronto was a trip. I mean, sometimes... We had 3 weeks of nights in Toronto, and it got down to, I think at its worst, like minus 17. So I kind of wish it was inverse. I wish we were shooting like 3 months here, 2 weeks in Toronto.
So would you say you're the bad guy?
It's not that black and white, actually. I'm an adversary for Frank. But, you know, as far as having an evil intent, the character is devoid of that. He is just doing his job. The interesting thing about this character is through the course of the film, the more he learns about Frank and his network, the more he actually comes to understand the bigger picture of what's going on, which leads to sort of an interesting sequence of events.
You've played all sorts of characters. Do you do a lot of research? Like, for something like this where you're playing an agent, do you do that research, or you sort of just jump on in and say, I got this?
No. I think that'd be a mistake to enter into any role thinking that you've got it or that you're armed with everything you need to fill it. And certainly this character was one that I read every book that Bob Baer wrote, and he was the... basically, he's a retired CIA operative, and met with him and had some good sessions with him, which was really interesting. Not only sort of hearing about his experience in the company, but also being able to glean little bits, subtle little things that you can inject into the character. What else? Lots of obviously more weapons training, cars, all that sort of stuff. I just read a lot of it was sort of just trying to get some sort of an informed perspective, so I did a lot of reading.
Yeah. Are there car chases in the film?
Yes, there are.
There are? Okay.
How important is it to you? How important is it to you to take a role like this with the success of Star Trek to kind of get away from McCoy and play a darker character?
No, I hadn't really thought about it in terms of and its importance. I read the script and really responded to the character. You know, he's a cool character. He starts in one place with one point of view and ends somewhere completely different, and it's got a great arc. And then also the wonderful thing about it is that I play a CIA hitman, but I have a family, and I haven't really sort of seen that or had the opportunity to play something like that before. So there was quite a sort of like a real sort of fun dynamic to the role, which that's what attracted me. But
you meet your family?
Pardon? Yes, you do. Yeah. Yeah, you get to see that. You get to see him, you know, at work and then at home with his family. So, you know, there's some sort of classic scenes where I'm, you know, like doing a hit, talking on the phone to the wife about the kids, and it's so bizarre. It's I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Your wife knows what you do in the movie, right? Or does she not know?
She knows that I work for the company, but that's about it. It's like,
okay.
You know, it's one of those things where we have an understanding that, okay, Dad can't talk about work.
Yeah.
You know, don't ask. So there's like Sundays I'm coming home and it's like covered in bruises and banged up, which is what I do after meeting Bruce's character. I, you know, come home pretty bad shape and she's like looking at me.
Can you talk about, obviously you were a fan, you must be a fan of Bruce Willis and all of his action films and diehards. Are you able, when you're working with someone like Bruce, do you geek out at all, or do you want to geek out at all, or do you sort of keep it very, what's it like on the set when you're not filming, or off the set?
I'll say a few things about Bruce. I mean, I've been watching his work for years, and first of all, it was really refreshing to come to set and meet him and find out that, you know, all your kind of expectation of who he might be is not to say I wasn't disappointed in who he was. He was very open and generous with his time and his ideas, and you know, he is I think if he wasn't such a major movie star, he'd make a phenomenal stuntman. He is one of the most coordinated actors I've ever worked with.
Do you get any good funny lines in the film, or do you play it pretty straight?
Play it pretty straight, yeah. I get thrown into some funny situations, but, you know, kind of my job is very kind of, you know, kill him.
So you obviously have some hand-to-hand combat with some of the actors.
Yeah, well, Bruce, I do. I have a massive fight sequence with Bruce Willis, yeah.
How's it like to punch Bruce Willis?
Oh, it was great. It was one of my favorite bits in the things. I take this coffee cup and hurl it at his face, and to his credit, he took it right smack on the head and actually cut him, and he started bleeding.
Really?
Yeah.
You made Bruce Willis bleed.
I made him bleed, but
dude, he's gonna find you.
So Bruce is a bleeder, huh?
Bruce was fine. His makeup artist wasn't too happy about it.
The movie also has Morgan, John Malkovich. Could you talk about, you know, being a fan of theirs and what they were like, and the way you talked about Bruce?
Morgan and I sort of really didn't have a lot to do with in this film, but obviously have such a long-standing deep appreciation of not only his work, but of John's as well. Same with John. I sort of really only had a limited amount to do with him in the film, but through the course of the film, I actually, you know, been up with John a few times, and that someone's... been out and spent some time with him, and I mean, he is classic. He's a unique, one of a kind gentleman. He tells a story how he's coming back through the airport. John Malkovich tells the story. He's coming back through the airport from being overseas. He designs clothes, and he was bringing with him like a whole suitcase full of samples of garments and stuff. And the custom guy said, are they worth, what are these worth? Are they worth something? And John's like, well, I found myself in an existential quandary because I like the clothes. They're worth something to me. I designed them. So I said to him, you know, I like them. I designed them. They mean something to me. But if nobody buys them, they're not worth shit. And the customs guy confiscated the lot. took them off. But he's constantly coming out with these little, you know, really insane stories. So, but he's, yeah, he's one of a kind. He's classic.
You guys are almost wrapped here, like 56 days out of 60 here. How many How many days have you been on set and working, and what has challenged you?
I think I was about 30 out of 60.
And what did you find in this experience? What challenged you as an actor? What challenged you, you know, in this location or the schedule? I mean, how was the situation different over those 30 days?
Wow, that's a great question. There's many ways I could answer that. I think, purely on a superficial level, I guess the physical conditions sometimes that we're shooting in, it was challenging. I mean, it was, you know, sometimes you're outside and you just can't feel your face. It's that numb. It was that cold.
Wow. This is up in Toronto?
Yeah, in Toronto. It's absolutely freezing. Challenge-wise...
For instance, like with your weapons training or physical training, anything like that, was that a challenge?
Yeah, the stunt training was definitely a challenge. It was interesting. The stunt guys on this are phenomenal. Buster Reeves is my stunt double, and he is without a doubt one of the best stuntmen I've ever had the pleasure to work with. He's like a former kickboxing champion. He's got the record for like most kicks to the head. So when I walk into the training thing to do my session, he goes, "All right. I'm going to come at you, and you defend yourself as best you can." I'm like, "All right." So he starts "You tell me when you start feeling threatened," and he's like, 10 feet away, and he starts moving. So he gets about 8 feet away, and I'm like, "I got this." And he just bursts out laughing. He's like, "Okay." So it's like, I think it was just his gauge of what do we got here. So, and I think they went back up. He went back upstairs and was like, "Oh no, this is going to be some work." But so him and Buster and Stuart, which is Bruce's stunt double, then proceeded to show me the ins and outs of fighting. And so what they decided to do was show me every conceivable way that you could get choked out, but not on each other, on me. So, well, we could do this, and you feel like, "Oh yeah, yeah, okay. You know, they literally nearly choked me out for a good 2 hours. But the great thing about that was that it taught me what the end game was, what the objective in the fight was. If you come up against someone who is of an equal standing as yourself, and you can't take them out, that's, you know, it's this whole mixed martial arts style which has gone off. So that was really, really interesting. And after that day, I kind of sort of clicked into, you know, where I really needed to be. Physically and mentally for that fight. But that's the great thing about this job. You get taught these amazing skills that you can never use in real life, whether it's driving, doing reverse 180s in cars, or driving weapons, or, you know, hopefully you never have to use these skills fighting, you know. So
is there going to be any UFC?
Do you like to shoot guns in your free time?
Yeah, I do, actually. I just went out... just a couple of days ago with Buster, and went to a range here, and we just literally spent like $600. We're there for a couple of hours, like, man. It was great.
I was going to ask you shooting 30 days with a 60. You obviously have had some downtime in Toronto and New Orleans. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend to people who've never been to either city that you've enjoyed doing, say, on your downtime?
Wow. Well, because I actually, I did have some downtime, but I actually flew back home for two stretches. So I wasn't there the whole time. Toronto, I would recommend... what would I recommend in Toronto?
Stay indoors.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a great DVD store on... No. I can tell you what I can recommend about New Orleans is the food is phenomenal. I just went to an amazing restaurant the other night called Maximo's, which if you get a chance to while you're here, you've got to check it out. It's to die for. Great food. What else? The French Quarter, just take a walk around. You've got to go out at night, you've got to walk down Bourbon Street at night and do bars. And
I have to ask, if you're walking on Bourbon Street, can you blend in? Or do people immediately want to come up to you, especially with Star Trek and the success of that film, do they immediately... they look at you and they know.
Yeah, I certainly, yeah, I do get tagged a bit, but you know, this, it's not like, it wouldn't be like Bruce walking down the street. I mean, you know, he would attract a crowd of people. That he's got the rule that's like no eye contact. That's it. Because if you, well, it's if you think about it, if you make eye contact with someone, then they will more likely than not come up to you and want to interact with you. So that's how he kind of gets through situations like that. No, I don't. You know what? I don't mind it at all, because I mean, I think that, you know, it's kind of it's par for the course, and you know, you wouldn't be in this business if you had an issue with people coming up and you know, wanting to, you know, interact with you on the street, and you know, they're the customers. So, and it's always, you know, sometimes it's nice to know that what you've done has been appreciated. It's not like theatre where you get that instant response, you know, negative or positive. Like, so yeah, it's been a bit of that.
But you can't like walk around Bourbon Street and drink hurricanes all night either.
Well, actually,
why wouldn't you?
Hence the glasses.
Do you have an American accent in the film?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that something you enjoy? Is that a challenge, or?
Yeah, that's always it's always a challenge. Always something you have to work on, and you know, again, it's one of those elements that whether it's no different to me than. You know, learning to fire weapons or fights, or it's just one of those elements that is sort of comprises the character that you have to spend time and energy on getting right.
You recently filmed Priest.
Yes.
For people who are not familiar with it, could you talk a little bit about who you play in that film, and have you seen dailies? Have you seen a rough cut?
I haven't seen anything. I heard the other day they showed the film to Sam Raimi and a bunch of execs over at Sony, and they were just really thrilled with it. So. I haven't seen it. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I play a character called Black Hat, who's who is the villain of the film, and I think that's coming out early next year, I believe.
Did you enjoy playing a villain?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fun things about villains is they get to do and say those things that we can never do in real life.
Right.
You're kind of walk on that precipice. It's unblinking. I love that.
Was there any kind of villain that was inspiring that role? Any that you like to pull from?
Well, you know, really, it sort of is a big kind of nod back to the silent movie days. You know, you had westerns, and the, you know, obviously the villain in the western typically wore a black hat. So, you know, visually, it takes its cue off that.
Mm-hmm. Body language the same. You know, any twirling of mustaches.
No, I think that's a mistake. You go into a generic area there, you're sort of too twirly. But, yeah, he was, it was sort of, I guess, the thing about that character is that he was a former priest, and his job was to hunt down vampires, and then he was captured and turned into one. And found himself on the other side, and I guess it's kind of a do-or-die situation.
It's more fun playing the villain, though, because they're more complex, there's a lot more layers to them. I would think, as an actor, it's just more fun to be the bad guy.
I had a lot of fun on that. I mean, there was a, you know, there was a, you know, emotionally quite an interesting complexity about it, in terms of the fact that I felt betrayed by Paul Bettany's character, for, you know, having let me go, or having and letting me be captured, or not killed me, and, you know, and there's sort of interesting layers like that that you can, you know, kind of infuse, and sort of the depth of that kind of rage and anger and longing and lust, even, you know, wanting Paul Bettany's character, the priest, to come and join me, you know, and so together as brothers they can, you know, sort of exterminate humanity.
Killing vampires is just one more thing you can now add to your skill set.
I'm just curious, though. Vampires seem to be, that whole genre seems to be really taking off. Some it has the Twilight franchise, mm-hmm. you know, priest, True Blood. It seems like everybody is making vampire movies. What do you think is the appeal right now of the vampire genre?
I think it's kind of sexy. And it's definitely after, you know, post True Blood and Twilight. It's yeah, it's really interesting how that whole genre has taken off. I think there's something taboo about it, and that is always, I think, very attractive. And there's something forbidden about it and sexual, and I think that that's a great hook for people. You always want what you can't have.
Mm-hmm. Did you have fear, like, going into a vampire movie that you're now just, like, that it was part of the bandwagon? Were you just, like, a little bit iffy about taking on the role?
No, I wasn't at all, actually. I thought, well, I can take that one off. I've never done that. I'd love to. I just want to, you know, that's what interests me. If I can find something that I haven't done before, then that's a... That is it's an immediate sort of, it piques my interest. Like, this was interesting to me because I'm playing a hitman, which I have played before, but not a hitman with a family, not a hitman who goes on a journey through the film and ends up at a completely different point of view than when he begins. So, you know, that was obviously that, and working with such a stellar cast and great director was just why I'm here.
I'm curious. What do you think the evolution of your character is going to be in the sequel for Star Trek?
I have no idea.
You haven't seen a script yet?
I haven't seen a script. I know it's going to be good. I mean, I'm really looking forward to getting on board that one. And, you know, I feel now that we have introduced, you know, all these great characters, and it's just going to be really interesting to see where we can take it.
Is it going to start shooting within, you know, before this comes out in October, or like?
No, it'll start to shoot. I think at the beginning of next year.
Okay.
I'm curious with the. Obviously, I would imagine you're going to be at Comic-Con this summer. You have Priest. You're going to have this. I'm sure they'll both be promoting. Do you look forward to Comic-Con? And when you go to something like that, what do you geek out about? Do you collect anything?
Yeah, I do.
It sounded very dark.
Yeah. Well, I'm mainly buying for my kids.
When you say kids, is that in quotations?
Yeah.
I've got a
great lightsaber collection.
Wait, I'm going to call you on this. Mm-hmm. What kind of lightsabers do you have? What company makes them?
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling you on
it. Is it... I could be wrong. Light Force, or
could be Master Replica.
Okay. Master Replica. That's the ones
Force
that. Yeah,
FX.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
They're brilliant. They
are the ones that light up.
The ones that light up.
Force FX.
Yeah. They are. I've got a Yoda one. I've got a little green one, and then a blue one and a red one, which makes for a lot of fun until you get hit in the face.
Who's hitting you in the face with a lightsaber?
My kids. Kids. Yeah,
just random
so,
kids.
Yeah,
that
Doctor Who. I'm big on Doctor Who, so I'll go for DVDs and all that sort of stuff.
Are you into, you know, collecting the toys? Are you sort of, like, now that with the Trek thing and mm-hmm. just seeing and being at Comic-Con, are you sort of understanding a little more of the fandom culture?
Yeah, but, you know, I kind of, in many ways, geek out, maybe not quite as much as some of the ones, but don't dress up, but I love going there and, you know, seeing all the models, or the R2-D2s, or the, you know, all the different, just the different sort of stalls to different various movies and TV shows, and, you know, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's a great... opportunity for everybody to collectively get together and celebrate something, you know, to celebrate this sort of pop culture. You know, it's I have a lot of fun there. I have a lot of fun more so walking around and checking everything out than actually doing like the you know, the Q&A's or whatever it is, the press, or, you know, no, I'm just,
yeah, the press stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate that stuff.
It's okay.
We get it.
And you talked about a checklist before, you know, the vampire flick, you can check that off, you know, CIA, hitman, etc. So what I mean, you've played a villain, you've played a good guy, you've played the lead, you play everything. What else is on that checklist? What would you like to do, and what's kind of on slate for you that might fulfill that?
Have you done an animated film? Have you done voiceover?
No, I have not. I have not done that yet.
Is that interesting?
Yeah, sure. It does. I don't know, apart from the next Trek film, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I had the opportunity to do a couple of things, but I've been away for 3 months, so I'm going to go back and spend some time at home before getting into the next thing. And I never know what that is until I read the script and I go, wow, that's kind of interesting, or I haven't done that before, or you know, if I start making decisions about how I'd like to play the character while I'm reading it, or if I connect on some sort of emotional level, and that's generally a good indication if it's something that I'd like to do.
Do you want to direct and produce?
That's a good question. Here's the thing, you know, I've been blessed to work with some truly phenomenal directors, and you know, I have so much respect for everything that comprises their craft, and I kind of just feel it would be a bit I'm not raising my hand saying, yeah, I could do that. I may like to, but I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing at the moment. You know, if you're a director, then, you know, the commitment can be several years, you know, not only to shepherding a project through its development into shooting and then to post, and then, you know, I kind of like, you know, the 3-4 month commitment or whatever it is. Certainly have some stories I'd love to tell if I ever get around to doing something like that. That
you
would
signed
be
on for two Trek sequels, right?
Correct, yeah.
Do you see yourself going beyond those two? Is it going to be just a 3-movie deal with you guys, or?
Again, I don't know. You know, I think that's sort of dependent on many factors.
Would you get bored with it eventually? I mean, it sounds like you like new challenges on this.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is entirely dependent, I guess, on, I mean, like, you know, anything, whether you're in a long-running TV show or a play, if you're running out of new territory or new gold to mine, then sure, that could potentially stagnate, but this thing specifically about Trek is you've got to look who's involved. I mean, you know, JJ and Roberto Orsi and Alex Kurtzman, they're all incredibly onto it creatives, so I've got faith in them. If it goes beyond 3, then, you know, I'd go for it.
Have you made any requests to the writing, to JJ or any of the other people working on it, where you want your character to go? Have you said something you'd like to be included in the next one?
No, I kind of think, you know, that I kind of think they're geniuses. You should just let them do what they do.
Genius.
Yeah.
<go.
laughs> Officially bestow genius level on them and just let them do it. And I've just got, you know, full faith that whatever they come up with is going to equal and surpass, you know, the first installment.
Have there been any roles that you've auditioned for? Any roles that you've auditioned for, or any scripts that came your way that you regret saying no to or walking away from? Has there been anything that hit your desk that you're just like, oh, at the moment?
Yeah, well, let me think. Not really. Sure. Not that I can think of the top of my head, actually.
That was a crappy last question. I didn't get nothing at you.
No, you didn't.
Any
no.
awesome
Any more
questions?
Last red questions?
No, Carl, can you talk
facial about tick? No.
Carl, can you talk a little bit about like being like a young, like new breed of agent going up against these old school Cold War, like, you know, assassins?
Good question. That's sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, okay, so it's an interesting because obviously that's, you know, it is old versus young, and not just in terms of cast-wise, but technologies. Obviously the new breed, which I represent, has a sort of a massive technological resource at his disposal. You know, like, you know, satellites, phone taps, data haunts, which basically is, you know, all your credit card information. You know, you can, they can sort of, cell phones, they can track where you are. That's the phenomenal thing, what I've learned on this, is that you can get tracked on a cell phone not even having it turned on, because it always maintains a residual charge.
You got to
even
take the battery
when it's
out, right?
Even when it's off, even when it's off, it'll always take a residual charge. I think even when you take the battery out, I believe.
Really?
I could be wrong on that, but I think so, because it's got to store all the all your information, so it's constantly emitting something.
You're a dangerous actor to know.
No, I'm not, but I do know some dangerous people. You know, it's kind of that kind of world versus the human intel world, which is the way they did it in the old days, which Bob Beer was talking a lot about, is that you actually have to go out there and cultivate these contacts and these agents. And, you know, more and more these days, security, you know, the CIA, FBI, they're sort of relying more on data, which they, with, you know, if it's satellite images or, you know, stuff like that, as opposed to actually getting out there and you know, cultivating those grounds. And that's ground context, and that's what kind of Bruce's character, the way he operates. And you know, when I come after him, the first thing he does is essentially go through all his old contacts, which is wonderful, because we can get this sort of vast array of, you know, these kind of eclectic sort of zany characters, from, you know, old Cold War adversaries to colleagues on his team. And we have a lot of fun with that. There's a lot of comedy in the film about, you know, old versus young and all that sort of stuff.
Anybody else?
Sure.
Thank you, Carl.
One last question. You're all good?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? What was probably the most shocking thing you learned in talking with the CIA, the former CIA guy?
Who killed Kennedy?
So?
Unbelievable. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.